Isn't it good to be able to come together and sing together praises to God and to lift one another up in song? It's edifying. It's encouraging. It's one of the blessings we have as Christians to be able to come together as brothers and sisters in our family, God's children, to sing and to pray together with Brother Hendricks as he led our minds in a well-worded prayer to speak to our Father and thank Him for our blessings and petition Him on behalf of others and pray for ourselves and for the church and for others here. It's been mentioned about our meeting that begins next Sunday, the Lord's willing. We need to continue to pray for that meeting and pray for ourselves that we'll be able to have the help we need to support that meeting and pray for Brother Hall. You know, the love that is found between brothers and sisters in Christ is really indescribable. The love that we have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we're 14 years old or whether we're 94 years old or anywhere in between, the fact is that children of God have so much in common. Number one is that we have the remission of sins because we've been bought with the blood of Christ. We've been washed. We've been cleansed. Or we've been separated from our sins, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, by the blood of Christ. And we are in God's family. He is our Father. And we have one head over us who is Jesus Christ. The blessings we have to be able to speak to one another and talk to one another. One of the trips that the Apostle Paul was making in the book of Acts, he was going along, and when he seen brethren coming toward him, and he took faith. His hope was increased when he saw those brethren, to know that they were there, to see them and to meet them. And so we have that like precious faith. And I just want to make a few comments about that before we get into our lesson tonight, about the love we have for one another because we love God, we love His Son, we love the church, we love one another, and we love the Word of God. And so our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ is a special relationship because it is a blood-bought relationship, bought by the blood of Christ. But it's not just us here at Beulah. It was talked about in the class this morning. Brother Barry brought it up, the fact that every congregation is autonomous to one another. We are not told what to do or delegated by the elders from South Coleman or from somewhere in Decatur or there else, and neither we tell them, but they are brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are also the body of Christ as we are, but every local group functions according to God's law, according to God's rule. Every local group has one head, and that is Christ. Every local group is to have elders to oversee that group, and so we all have that like precious faith. And so from day to day and time to time, when we see other brothers and sisters in Christ from other places, it may be from Morgan County, Limestone County, Jefferson County, it may be from someone you meet in Coleman when you're there to do business or whatever, and you meet someone from another congregation in this county and you shake hands with them and you talk to them. It's that close-knit relationship that we have because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should ever be thankful for that. But beyond that, when you think about some of the brethren that preached in Africa that we supported, and one of them recently has been in here in Alabama doing some preaching, that spent a lot of years in Africa preaching over there. The relationship we have with brothers and sisters that have gone overseas and around the world and preached the gospel and have come back, and some still living there, that relationship we have. So it's a family that's not just an immediate family that we see from week to week and time to time, but it's all those baptized believers in Christ around the world. We had a couple visit with us last Sunday and this Sunday from Indiana, and I had an opportunity to talk with them last week a couple of minutes, and then today also, and they were here for 2 weeks in Coleman County camping, and they wanted to come and visit here. They said they enjoyed the services, enjoyed meeting everyone, and they were very appreciative of the kindness that each one of you shown to them and trying to meet them and get to know them. And it was like, after talking to them last Sunday and then this morning again, you know, the man, it was as if we had known each other most of our life because we had a lot in common. They attend the Faithful Congregation of the Lord in Indiana, and we talked about some of the things of the Bible and what the church stands for and what we stand for and the truth. And so wherever we are, whatever state we're in, whatever county we're in, wherever we're living, where there's other Christians, there's that close-knit relationship that we have with one another because we are God's children. So we ought to be thankful for that. So then, as God's children, I can look at your lives, and as was mentioned in the prayer earlier by Brother Jerry, that your life that you live from day to day, when I see you and talk to you and meet you from place to place, the light that shines in your life is an example to me, to encourage me to want to continue to be faithful because of your faithfulness. And you never know how much that light that's shining from people that you work with, people you do business with, people you pass by on a daily basis that are not Christians, that you may be encouraging and influencing in some way by your words, by your actions, the things you say, the things you do, the way you treat other people, that may one day bring those people to Christ, to ask the question, what is it that you have in your life? I want to know what makes you like you are. And you can tell them about the gospel, and they'll have an opportunity to obey the gospel. So it's that example that's set. That means so much to one another, because we all are setting an example of one kind. And so as Christians, faithful Christians, we're setting a good example. And so in that, there are many examples in the Bible that we can look at that would be warnings to us, such as that of the children of Israel in the times that they failed, the times that they turned against God, the times that they were influenced by nations around them. And those examples are examples that we don't want to be involved in. It's a warning to us not to act as they acted. And so, because God was not well pleased with them. But there are many people and numerous examples in the Bible of those that we can read about in the Old and the New Testament that set good examples in something they said, something they did, in the way they presented themselves, the things they did for God or others that are good examples for us. And tonight I'd like to take 15 or 20 minutes and look at some of these examples that are found in the Bible of people that have... they had a good attitude, and along with that good attitude, many of them portrayed then in their life the actions that go along with a good attitude. And so I think it'd be good to look at five or six good examples. And these outline is on the back of the bulletin. If you have a copy of it, you can see where we're at in the outline and how much more I like being finished, what point I'm on, if you want to look at it from that point. But when we think about the attitude is very important. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, Proverbs 23 and verse 7, Solomon said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So attitude is very important for you and for me and for everyone. Attitude reflects our heart, our inner being. So our attitude is important in that respect. And then actions are very important, because our actions are an outward sign of what our attitude is. Actions are very important then, because Jesus taught, as we already mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that those who would be His disciples, those that would follow Him, are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And He tells us then to glorify your Father by letting your light so shine. Glorify your Father which is in heaven by setting a good example. So there are numerous examples in the Bible we could look at, but we're going to take about five or six of them tonight and look at some of these that are important that we can draw some teachings from, I believe, that will help us. And so the first example we want to look at are some of those first century Christians that we read about in the book of Acts. Remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached that first gospel sermon? Those people submitted to the words he had submitted to them. They received it in their heart, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he told them to repent and be baptized. In verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized that day. Now, many of those Christians then, from then on, the things that are written about them sets a good example for us to look at in our life and follow that same example that they set there in Acts chapter 2. But we want to go over and look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the one example I want to cite tonight that these people had in their good attitude and their good actions was that when persecution came upon the church, when they were being persecuted and Saul was breathing threatenings out against the church, and when they were scattered abroad, verse 4 says of Acts chapter 8, and when they were scattered abroad, what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. That's the example we want to zero in on for just a minute. These early Christians, even under persecution, And we're studying about that and going to study about that in Revelation. We've studied about it earlier in many of our studies of the gospel. But they were being persecuted because they were Christians. Simply because they were Christians, they were being persecuted. And so when they were scattered, they didn't just leave and flee and run away and quit saying anything about the gospel or the Christ Jesus who died for their sins or who they were or what they were doing. They went everywhere preaching the word. So that's a good example for us today in that we too need to be sharing the word not only by our example, but also the opportunity presents itself and when we can present ourselves an opportunity to do so to teach others the word of God in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And so working to teach the Word of God is important. We have that example in the New Testament of early Christians who did that. Not only do we have that example of some of those Christians in Acts 8 and verse 4 who went everywhere preaching the Word, but look over to Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. In chapter 8 and verse 30, after they had gone down into Samaria and they were there going about their way, going back, some of them going back to their homelands and some of them going different places, and different ones were teaching and preaching as they went from city to city. We find that Philip the evangelist was one that the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him to go south. And he went down there, and when he saw this man, the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia, this eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, had been up to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was riding along in his chariot. And so Philip had been instructed to go to the south and go down that way. And when he had that opportunity, what did Philip do? He ran. He ran to the Ethiopian eunuch to do what? To teach him. Here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30 we see, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And so the place he was reading from there, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, and his life is taken from the earth. This is what the man was reading. So what happened was, when Philip seized the opportunity to run and catch up with this man and ask him if he knew what he was reading, he said, "How can I unless some man guide me?" And he got up in the eunuch, got up there with the eunuch in the chariot, and so he was able to listen to what the man was reading. And what did he do? He didn't linger. He didn't wait around. He began at the same scripture, and what did he do? He preached unto him Jesus. So we have in Acts 8 and verse 4, those early Christians who set the example of carrying the gospel throughout the world, wherever they went. They went everywhere preaching the word, even when they were being persecuted. We have the example of Philip the evangelist of running to catch up with a man who was riding along in a chariot and asking him, did he understand what he was reading? And then when he realized what the man was reading, he quickly began at the same scripture and took off and preached unto him Jesus. And the result was that man was baptized into Christ. And the result of much of the preaching of those other people there also that were scattered, we have example after example of multitudes and numerous amounts of people that were baptized into Christ. So their example of having a desire to teach the Word of God, a willingness to teach the Word of God, even under dire circumstances when they were being persecuted, sets an example for us. Their attitude was good. We're going to teach the Word of God even when we're persecuted. We're going to teach the Word of God even if we have to get in a hurry and catch that person and catch up with them and then teach the Word of God. So that's a good example for us today, I think. We need to be willing and ready. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, sanctify the Word of God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer unto anyone who asks you of the hope that's in you. So we need to be ready to do what? Answer people's questions. Teach the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul in writing to Timothy said, teach these men who when they receive the Word of God and learn it, they too will be able to what? To teach others also. So the attitude and example of some early Christians who willingly went out to teach the Word of God and made an effort to teach the Word of God and even got in a hurry to get to a place where they could teach the Word of God, even under times of persecution, that's a good example for us. So, secondly tonight, I want to look at Isaiah. Go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 8. And we see that certainly Old Testament examples that of those who did things that were important to God and for God and doing His will, this is important for us today. And so Isaiah's attitude was that God was calling someone to be sent out to preach to the people of God and to warn them and to tell them and to go and tell them about their sins and the things that were wrong. And Isaiah's attitude toward being sent to do the work of God was simply this. He said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Isaiah, when you read the book of Isaiah, all the interesting things that are found there and the warnings he gives to all the people and the things he talks about, the Son of God and the Lamb that's going to be slain and the giving of His life and the Savior that's going to be coming and the blood that's going to be shed, all the things that he taught, all the things we read about in the book of Isaiah, here's one who stood up and said, "Here am I. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Send me. I'm ready to go." So we look at our own lives today and ask ourselves, am I ready to do what it is that God wants me to do? You've been baptized into Christ. We're attending the services. We're studying the Bible. We're doing certain things. But are we willing to do other things above and beyond what maybe we've already been doing? Are we willing to say, "Well, here I am. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to have a Bible study with someone. I'm ready to try to find someone to have a Bible study with. Oh, here I am. I'm ready to visit someone who needs to be talked to or needs to be encouraged or needs to be met with and talked about the things that are that concern the Word of God." So willingness to say, "Here I am, send me." Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to be involved and go and do the work that God would have us to do? Isaiah was willing and ready. He said, "I'm ready. Here I am. Send me." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 lets us know that we always need to be willing and ready to go forward and do the work of God as He would have us to do it. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in" what? "Always abounding in the work of the Lord." So, there's work to do. There's work to do on every hand. We sing that song sometimes. There's work to do. There's much to do. There's work on every hand. Then we sing the song, "To the work, to the work." We are servants of God. And we sing the song, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." So are we willing to say, "Here I am, send me"? Your work is this, to spread the gospel, to teach others, to encourage others, to bring the lost to Christ, to bring the erring back to the fold. Your work is this, to teach and edify others in the church and to be an encouragement to others. Are we ready to get up and go and do our part? Look at these examples. Isaiah is a good example of one who said, "I'm ready. Send me." Well, the third one we want to look at tonight is Job. A very familiar example to each and every one of you. And if you studied the book of Job, as most of you have, and you've read that, the life of Job and the man that was good and upright, and you know, Satan then came to test him and to tempt him, and we find that Job then, in all these things that happened to him, he is a good example of a man who kept his composure, who kept his values when everything around him was falling apart. Here's a man who kept his faith in God and his belief in God and stood for what was right. Even when his wife said, "Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." This man did not do that. He did not do that. Look to Job, the book of Job, and let's look at a few of the things that is said concerning him. And the fact is that this man, even his friends came to him. And they ridiculed him, it seems, and they were not very compassionate to him, and they questioned about so many things. But in all this, Job was able to retain his integrity and hold up and do what God wanted him to do. He had confidence in God. He had faith in God. So his example is one for us to look at and say, do I have in my life complete trust and confidence in God, and do I keep my composure? Do I stand for what's right, even when things around me may be falling apart to a certain extent? In Job chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Some versions say, "or did not charge God foolishly." So Job was a man that retained his integrity. Look over to Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Job 13 and verse 15. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. So in all that happened in Job's life, he never lost his confidence and his trust in God. And he never gave up his guard against doing what was wrong. He stood for what was right. And in all this, Job sinned not. So his good example, his good attitude is one that we need to measure in our life today. And are we willing then to stand for what's right and keep our composure and keep our integrity and keep ourselves together and stand up against temptation and trials and troubles and make it through faithfully and always keep our trust and confidence in God. Number four tonight is Joshua. Another example that we've talked about time and again, even from this pulpit, and many of you studied about over the years, Joshua's attitude shows very strongly his choice to do what? To serve God. Joshua was called to take the place of Moses. God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, come, and now I want you to lead my people across this river and lead them into the land that I have promised them. And so Joshua was a servant of God. And in all that, as he served those people, as he served God and he led them all that time, when he gets down to the last part of the book of Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 15, and he's giving this discourse to these children after they receive their land, they're receiving what they're supposed to receive from God. And he told them then, he said, need to make a choice. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's choice is an example for us to look at and consider and hold on to, because we too need to make that same choice. Not only do we need to make that same choice, but we must make that same choice to serve Jehovah God, the God of heaven and earth that Joshua served, if we're going to be saved and go to heaven when this life is over. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for he'll hate the one and despise the other, or cleave to the one. You see, we've got to make a choice. Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve Satan? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, we cannot serve God and mammon. And so, we have to make a choice. Joshua made his choice. He set a good example of attitude, of saying, as for me and my house, the decision is made. We're going to serve the Lord. Now you choose this day whom you're going to serve. We have choices every day. You make choices every day. I make choices every day. Some of them are individual choices. Some of them are choices that we make together with our wives or husbands or with our children or other people. But the choices we make are very important. Because if we choose wrongly, we can end up in the wrong place. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 talks about the two avenues, the two choices and directions of life that we can choose to go in. And one is the straight and narrow way, the difficult way, the narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And so, what are the majority going to do? But the way that leads unto destruction is the wide way, the wide gate. The path that leads to destruction is the one that's wide, that's open, that's easily accessible, that most people would want to go down. And he says, those that choose that wide gate, they choose to make the wrong decision, and it leads to destruction. So, what choices are we making in our life? Let's look at the example of Joshua and choose to do the right thing. Well, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we go over in the New Testament and we look at the Apostle Paul. And we see that here's another good example of a man whose attitude was great. Not only did he have a good attitude, but he set the example to match that good attitude. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul endured many things, many hardships as a Christian and as apostle. He was beaten, he was robbed, he was stoned, he was left for dead. He was done wrong by his own countrymen. And he said, on top of all this, come upon me daily the cares of all the churches. Paul had a lot on him. But his attitude was good. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And last week, we talked about Paul's attitude in his last days as he talked to Timothy about his crown of righteousness. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. Paul had a good attitude. He was reaching for the crown. He was keeping his faith to receive that crown of righteousness in heaven. So he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But not only his attitude of having strong and consistent faith in God and assurance that in Christ and through the strength he received through Christ, he could do the things he needed to do to serve God and to teach others and to be a good minister and an apostle and a Christian that's faithful and go to heaven. He knew that. But on top of all that, his attitude of his own life, he realized who he was and that he was human and that he could fall away if he wasn't careful. So look at his attitude about himself. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. He said, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So Paul had a good attitude. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There is laid up for me a crown of life in heaven. And what I've got to do is serve God faithfully and discipline my body and bring it into subjection that I don't give in to the things going on around me and fall away and not serve God faithfully. So his attitude is one that each and one of us can use today in our life of the faith in God, the discipline of our life, our thoughts and our actions. The Apostle Paul, a good example. Well, our last example is the one of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the best example of all. The greatest and best example, the only perfect example we have, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His attitude and His example. Let's look at what the Bible says about Jesus' attitude toward His Father in heaven that sent Him to this earth to do His will, to die on the cross for our sins, and to make Himself and give His life a propitiation for our sins. Look at his attitude in John chapter 4 and verse 34. He says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. It would be good if every one of us could have that attitude. That we're here to do the will of the Father in heaven. And we're not just going to do it today. We may have done it yesterday and we're going to do it today and we're planning on doing it tomorrow. But we're going to finish the work that God asked us to do. Jesus finished the work that God asked Him to do. He did no sin. He set the perfect example. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He paved the way that we can have salvation. He finished the work the Father asked Him to do. The question is, am I going to finish the work that God has for me to do in this life? Are you going to finish the work that you find to do with your hands in the service of God in this life? Or are you going to give up? The next question is, have you started doing the work that God would have you to do? Jesus came to this earth. He started the work. He did that work. He did it according to the Father's will. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father which sent me. And He finished that work. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. So, tonight, think about your life. If you haven't started the work for the Lord by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, confessing that, repenting of your sins, and being baptized into Christ, you need to start that work. Because your work is to do the will of the Father, just as Jesus' work was to do the will of the Father. And if you have started that work, and I've started that work, and we are now children of God in His family, our responsibility, my responsibility and your responsibility is to do what? Finish that work that God would have us to do. Doesn't matter if we live to be 50 years old or 100 years old. Finish life having done the work that God asked us to do and finish faithfully. Revelations 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life. We need to have that same attitude today that we're going to do the Father's will. We can't get to heaven without it. We can't earn our way, but doing by faith is part of what falls into our life and our responsibility when we receive the grace and mercy of God because of what He's done for us. Again, Matthew 7 verse 21, we mentioned that this morning. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. So let's just briefly look back at these attitudes that we looked at tonight. The first one was those early Christians. Their attitude of when they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. Philip ran to catch up with a man so he could teach him the word. Are we teaching the word of God to others? Isaiah, his attitude of being sent to do the work of God, he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Are we among those that say, I'm willing and I'm ready. I'm here to do it. Or are we among the ones that would stand in the shadows and wait for someone else to volunteer and go ahead, and then they'll say, well, it's going to get done. I don't have to do it. How are we standing in the sight of God? Are we as Joshua was? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are we as Paul was in his attitude and action? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are we as Jesus was? Are we here to do the Father's will? And are we doing the Father's will? And if not, are we going to get started doing it? And the question then is when? Well, today's the day we need to start if we haven't been doing it. Because we don't know if we'll have another day. James chapter 4 verses 13 through 15. James says, go to now, you who say today or tomorrow. You go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. So if you haven't started in your life to do the work of the Father in heaven so you can get to heaven and by faith obey Him, today is the day. Don't put it off. If you have started and you've fallen away and you haven't been industrious as you should have been, and there's something in your life you need to correct, then take advantage of God's grace and mercy and acknowledge your wrong, confess your sin, and pray that God forgive you, and He will forgive you. And that's one of the many blessings we have. So, tonight we've looked at just six good examples from the Old and New Testament of good attitudes and good actions. Your question for you and my question for me is, how's my attitude? How's my actions? Are they in keeping with the will of God? Invitation song's going to be led by Brother Barry. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing.